How do I overcome the effects of bullying that still show up in my life?
Welcome to the Real Talk Recovery Podcast with the Therapy Brothers.
We're brothers, we're therapists, and we know recovery.
Bring your stories, your questions, your successes with real recovery.
How do I overcome the effects of bullying that still show up in my life?
Random, this is a really good question today. It's got a probably really common question for a lot of our clients who are working recovery too. So this is going to be excellent.
Yeah.
Before we jump into it, we just got another review today. We always appreciate you guys' reviews. This one's from C. Bizzle. It says, "Boundary is where it's at. I loved your most recent episode. My lows in my last 5 years of recovery, I can feel, can all be attributed to not having real boundaries like you discussed, which has led me to not be my authentic self. I strongly believe true recovery and long-lasting change can't happen until you're able to find your authentic self and find boundaries that help you live this new life instead of living in fear. Thanks again for keeping it real and dropping some truth bombs. Love the show and the time and energy you both bring."
That's awesome. Man, I'd love to have them on as a guest, whoever wrote that.
Yeah.
Good shifts have happened and they're understanding what healthy boundaries actually are.
Yeah, they've caught the vision that boundaries work from the inside out with your values. So yeah. Awesome. Awesome review. Thank you for sharing. We love your reviews.
Yeah, excellent. Well, Tyler, we're kind of in recovery ourselves. We had a good boys weekend, right? We spent the weekend together with our brother and our cousins, and it was awesome.
Had a really, really good time. I mean, physically, I'm spent because I haven't kept myself in the kind of physical shape you need to be to wakeboard and surf for a couple of days behind a boat. But other than that, the emotional recharge was awesome. Really good to spend time with the boys and just kind of get into the depths of the deeper things of life, you know?
Yeah. I mean, you were my cornhole partner and kind of let me down, but other than that, it was a great weekend.
To my remembrance, it was your side of the cornhole board that wasn't performing. So
No, it was good. And it was good. We didn't talk work at all. We just chilled and got recharged, and I got a Dr. Pepper hangover this morning, you know, a little bit of a headache, but other than that, things are awesome. So, right. Let's roll into Devin's question. And Devin, if you can start by just introducing yourself a little bit, kind of let our audience know who you are, and then tell us, ask us the question that you have.
Awesome. So I'm Devin. I am in recovery from addiction, and that's been for a few years now, working recovery. And a lot of my story comes from the fact that I was bullied when I was a kid, and going into my youth. First exposure was at 17, so I'm pretty fortunate. And, you know, Mission was a clean time for me in my life. Came back, was honest with my wife. She's an angel. She's like always been super supportive. And so I don't feel like there's ever any kind of real, you know, deception in my marriage, which has been really good. But I still feel, you know, in my life, the effects of bullying that have occurred, I feel a lot of lack of confidence still, just looking at life, feeling like, you know, people are out to get me, you know, things like that. It's just that, am I being targeted by the world? You know, just that same feeling, and not really relating to the people who had bullied me in my childhood. I don't really feel like I'm scared of those people or, you know, those things, but I realize that those effects and that mindset still shows up in my life a lot. And it's something that I really do want to have understanding of what I can do. Even now, I feel like that those neural pathways are still pretty strong. And that's kind of probably the biggest thing that haunts me still, is the effects of that.
Devin,
go ahead, Brandon.
No, you first. Go.
Oh, I was just going to ask you, Devin, just some more clarifying information a little bit. you said there's things that are haunting you now today, and you referred to maybe some things about how you see the world or some beliefs you have or some struggles you have. What would you say are the current struggles that you currently have or that you're battling or that you see that are tied to whatever happened in your childhood?
I would say just things that are really good that will bring me happiness. I'm scared to attempt just because I feel like, you know, there's going to be people who will try to take me down. Let's say starting like a business. I'm scared that the competition will do something to ruin me, so to speak, or just those type of things. Just the same child in me looking at the bullies on the playground after I was winning, you know, at a sport we were playing together, and feeling like they're all plotting against me to come take me down, you know, like football on the playground or something like that. It's that same sort of feeling. And I, you know, I can't really speak to like memories that don't really see it in my mind when it happens, but I have the same feelings, you know, the feelings there. So yeah, I mean, starting a business or even just, you know, like confidence with a lot of people. A lot of times I feel confident and I feel like I've recovered, but there's always something that gets uncovered, and you know, it's that pain that re-arises to the surface. So I know that there's still a lot of work I have to do, but yeah, I think just those things, going out or feeling like, man, I'm not really like one of the popular kids who, you know, deserves to be fit, you know, and I've always struggled with weight as a result of being bullied. I think that when I started getting bigger, you know, I ate to feel comfort, but I also got bigger, which made me feel less susceptible to attack, you know, from being bullied. It made me feel like I got more insulation from attack, you know? Mm-hmm. So I lost weight on my mission, had a really good mindset, dailies really well. And feeling like my life was under control, and then gaining the weight back after my mission, you know, slowly, with now three kids, expecting twins, you know, which is really exciting. But at the same time, I just want to become the man who can really step into his masculinity and not be secretly afraid of, you know, things for my kids, especially. So
Devin, did you say you have three kids and you're having twins? Or
yeah, that's right.
Oh wow. Wow. You got a lot going on.
Yeah. So I just want to be strong for my family too, you know, and really work past, you know, getting into a good mindset really and practicing that, you know.
You said step into your masculinity, and I want to get to that maybe in a minute, but before we do, if you could just give us a little bit of information about the bullying. So how old were you when you first remember it? Was it long-standing experiences?
Yeah.
I'm sure there's some that were pretty intense, significant experiences that you had.
Yeah.
So if you could just give a few details about it.
Absolutely. And this is stuff that I've worked through a little bit with Tyler and EMDR, which has been really helpful. And I still feel like I'm mostly, you know, healed, but there are still some wounds for sure. So forgive me if I cry, you know, get emotional.
It's okay.
It started when I was in second grade, you know, and I liked this really popular girl, and we were out on the playground, and, you know, everyone basically knew that I liked her and she liked me, but I wasn't really one of the popular kids. So that wasn't really okay, you know? And it turned out that, you know, like she liked me and she gave me this football ring, and I was like, wow, you know, she really likes me. And then one of the kids said, that means she wants to marry you if she gives you a ring, so you have to marry her. And I was like, whoa, you know. And it turned out that a lot of jealousy. And so basically from that, it turned into more physical stuff, like, you know, running at recess and running and tackling you and like singling you out. And, you know, from second grade, really third grade's when it really started, up to about 10th grade on and off. And third grade was biggest event I can remember was, you know, like, it's not politically correct term, but we were playing Smear the Queer when we were kids, running around with a football. And, you know, we like, I wasn't athletic or really part of the little league football or anything like that, but I just thought it was fun. So, you know, I went out and tackled, you know, like the kid got the ball and like people kind of felt threatened, I think, by me. And that kind of just at the young age, I really feel like just taught me you can't try your hardest and be your best self because people will take you down, you know? And so that made me really scared to really shine. And that really made me fearful. And so fourth grade playing four square, you know, had a basketball thrown on my face and like a kid grabbed my head and threw it on the concrete and it was like bleeding goose egg, you know? And that was like really traumatic. And fifth grade, you know, same kind of stuff. And all the way up till, you know, sixth, seventh, eighth wasn't really as much physical. It never was physical, but it was just the anxiety and, you know, people not knowing who they were and wondering if people were going to single me out for a lot of those type of things. Mm-hmm. So then 10th grade was the last time, you know, there was people and I remember going to the locker room and they made me fight this kid in high school and I did not want to. I was a sophomore and they were seniors and they kind of blocked the exits of the locker room and said, you're not leaving until you fight this kid. And so I fought him and I basically, I guess you could say I won the fight, but we went out and the next day I had this really strong feeling, just don't go in the locker room, you know? So I took my gym bag and changed in just a normal restroom in the school. And I was walking past the hallways and I heard the voices of those people saying, where is he? You know, we're going to like beat him up. So that was really frightening, you know, and just to me, you know, I went to the school teacher and told him, hey, like, this is what's going on. And he said, you'll never have a problem again. And he was a big grizzly guy who was football coach and, you know, was a PE class. So he basically told him and never had an issue after that. But I think the thing that haunted me most of all, you know, in recovering from that was the recurring, you know, events, like a few events once or twice, it's like, okay, I think that's fine. But to me, it was just like, what's wrong with me? You know, this keeps happening. And it was, you know, always that anxiety and worry of what's going to happen next. And sometimes I feel that still in my life, like, you know, like there's forces at B or, you know, let's just say like the world's going a certain way. And sometimes you feel like, man, the government's, you know, plotting these things and are we going to be okay? It's that feeling of, am I going to be okay? It's out of my control. And there have been times of relief for sure. I mean, most of my life has felt like God's in control and I surrender to him and feel that really good confidence that he's in control on my mission. That's, I think, why I lost weight and why I was so confident, you know, and felt really great is I felt that God was in control and he was taking care of me and I kind of turned my life over to his care. But yeah, I think that's kind of just in a nutshell, it was the recurrence of it that was so haunting.
I think it's fascinating how well you can recollect it. And it just shows that this is trauma. This is actual trauma and bullying. And so many people have been bullied. It is actual trauma. I mean, it is significant trauma. And it's interesting as you're talking, you can hear it going from these experiences that you've had in your life into thoughts and beliefs and emotions that then perpetuate themselves. And it creates triggers throughout your life. Yeah. And here you are as a grown man, still having these triggers that are affecting your life since your life and still having, it sounds like you worked on a lot of this, Devin, with Tyler, but still having a lot of those faulty core beliefs show up as reality, as this is true. And
absolutely.
Yeah. And so you can definitely, as you're talking, hear the trauma there.
Yeah.
Look at the trap that's being set from the time you're a little boy and you don't even realize it to where Devin, you just shared a couple of experiences and they have a common thread in them. One, you know, the little girl in grade school who liked you and you weren't popular and you got bullied for it. Then you start to excel physically when you're not popular and you become a threat to the other people and you get bullied for it. It's not hard to see that this is how trauma works. It's something called reenactments where once the belief system starts to set itself in, we end up finding and actually, whether it's conscious or subconsciously, having reenactments of the same kinds of things. So now you as a grown man are living in a world And this is an interesting belief system, because now you're stuck between a rock and a hard spot that says, if I do my best, if I perform well, that's going to lead to my destruction.
Yeah, but absolutely.
But now I have something inside of me that always wants to be my best, and I'm fighting that because I'm afraid of the consequence. And you've experienced that even in your adult life, because your brain is trained to look for that. So even in your current life, you're a successful person by most standards in what business would be, right?
Yeah.
And yet you're holding yourself back because you want to fly under the radar because you're afraid of what happens if you get put on the map. Yeah. And now you're stuck there, and I can see there's a lot of emotion. People can't see your face right now, Devin, but there's a lot of emotion coming out right now. Can you just kind of speak to what you're feeling and experiencing?
Man, sorry. Sorry, you asked me to speak when I was super emotional. So
it's okay.
Man, you just nailed it right on the head. Like, you know, I feel horrible because I know I'm capable of much more, you know, and really I'm just terrified that if I give everything in the tank, like you said, I fly under the radar, like I didn't really notice that that's what's going on. But man, it's so true. Like, I don't want to put myself out there because I'm going to get demolished and I just can't handle that, you know, or I don't want to handle it. And sometimes I feel like, bring it, you know, like God's with me. And if I die, like, then I'm dead. Great. You know, better place. But, you know, most of the time I do feel that I have more potential than I am living up to. And, you know, that is haunting me because I know I'm capable of more, but I'm still not giving everything in the tank.
But Devin, it's really interesting where you just went with that. You can see the shame and trauma, yeah, perpetuating shame is,
yeah,
because here I am, having just really met you, seeing a man who works hard for his family, has three kids, sounds like you've worked hard on your recovery, and faced a lot of difficult, scary things. Yeah. And what Tyler just said, and Tyler, I actually want you to expound on a couple of things you said here in a second, but in what Tyler just said, look where you took it. You took it to, I should be doing so much more than I am, but this trauma and shame's kicking the crap out of me. That's where, yeah, you took it.
Yeah.
Right? And that right there is an example of this lens that you're looking through.
This, yeah.
And you just reenacted it right here, right now.
Mm-hmm.
Do you see that, Devin?
Yeah.
And Tyler, I want to come back to something you said about reenactment, because it's really fascinating. You said consciously or subconsciously, it happens. Could you just expound on that?
Yeah. So the belief system, like, think about this, let's just use Devin's, your scenario. Okay. Does a little boy who's a second grader or a third grader actually consciously sit and go, okay, now the new rules of life are that if I shine too brightly, then I'm going to get my head pounded on the pavement. He feels fear, but it happens, and something happens on a cellular level too, where the body, like Devin, when you're talking about being in the locker room, we're like, your gut told you that, and your body was in pure fear and panic. That's why you didn't go to the locker room that day, and you went to your coach instead. Thank goodness. But what happens is that little boy, he forms those beliefs, and he doesn't realize that they're beliefs that are being formed. He assumes they're the truth. So then when I get into my day-to-day living and as an adult, I continue to follow these, I fall into these same patterns, and I go, why do I keep doing these things? Or why do these things keep happening to me? I don't know. Like, it's like, you know, another example of this would be like somebody who's been married four or five times, and they go, man, I'm a magnet for the same person. I always marry the exact same person. It's like, well, the reason why is because you haven't had the chance to step back and actually look at the lens from which you're viewing your life and the world and relationships, and actually consider that maybe some of those things could change, and that they were developed instead of just the truth. And so, yeah, so subconsciously we live our lives, and, you know, I'm thinking of my own life. I developed a belief that says my value hinges on my performance as a boy. Mm-hmm. So then I get into a marriage, I get into a job, and what do I have to do? I have to be the best guy at my job. I have to make sure my wife only sees the good in me. I have to make sure, you know, and then what I end up doing is I set myself up for more and more shame, because ultimately I can't be perfect, but I have to put on a face of being perfect. And that's all subconscious. Like that's not.
And whether you fail or whether you succeed, it proves that theory, that notion, that lens, right? Because if you succeed and your wife's like, rah, 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 or your parents are yay, then see, it's true, right, Tyler? But if you fail and they're disappointed, it's true that you're worth your value. Yeah. So it's not about what you do, whether you succeed or whether you fail. Mm-hmm. Your reality and your emotions and your experience of this world is way more about that lens.
Yeah.
I could succeed or fail and I'd have a different experience than Tyler. Right. Mm-hmm. So Devin, coming back to you, Michael Singer, in his book, The Untethered Soul, he talks about somebody who's experienced rejection in childhood. They actually get into relationships and expect rejection. And so then what do they create? Rejection.
Mm-hmm.
And they, you know, they push their partner away because they know they're going to get rejected, and they act in very unhealthy ways because they're afraid that they're going to get rejected, and then they get rejected.
Yeah.
And it proves
that's kind of like true. Which came first, the chicken or the egg? Like, was I not confident and that's what brought on people singling me out, or was it singling me out that maybe not confident, or both, you know?
But like, here's the other side of it. You won the fight. You won the fight, Devin.
Yeah.
And the girl, the popular girl, liked you.
Yeah.
Right?
So you were good at football.
How did that happen?
Yeah. Well, it's like, I feel like, yeah, going back to the little kid, like, why should I feel ashamed of the fact that I can perform or be good looking and, you know, attractive or something like that? You know, I think other people's insecurities came out and, you know, they retaliated because of their own insecurities. And that's what I'm trying to really realize, you know. But there have been times in my life where I have had great performance, you know, like in work. And it's almost ironic because I'm drawn back to the same. It's like, I didn't, you know, I kind of joke that it's like exposure therapy, because I've done door-to-door sales for 6 years plus, you know, and all these things, which nothing is more terrifying than going and knocking on a stranger's door and getting rejected. You know, it's almost making myself force those, you know, face those same things, you know, and sometimes it brings it up. But I mean, I have been able to overcome a lot of things and really be successful because of the work that I've done. But I also feel that there are times, you know, I overcome one thing, one aspect, and that could just be knocking on someone's door. But going into starting my whole own business, feeling like, man, I'm just going to, the competition's out to get me. They're going to crush me. It's that same template that I'm aware of enough now that I want to be able to work on, you know?
Well, I'm kind of hearing you say that the real fear and the real work with this trauma is not so much about succeeding, like door-to-door sales, you can go crush it. But yeah. it's that thing that might happen after the success, which is, okay, now your competition comes. Now the opposition comes. And that sounds like it has a lot of power still.
It does. And like, even, you know, I could make $100,000 in a month and feel like, man, if I go and succeed even more, not only is it going to be excruciating to get there, but the tax man's going to take all that I earned, you know. Mm-hmm. It's that fear of success, because what will happen after. And, you know, just like what you just said, like, nailed it, you know?
Right.
So Brandon, can I come back to what you're saying? Cause I want to try to help Devin see what you were saying with his specific situation.
Yeah.
All right. What I basically heard you saying is that the world is going to be the world. Things are going to happen. Like in my scenario, I'm either going to perform and get those accolades, or I'm going to fail. The truth is I'm going to do both. I'm going to excel at certain things. I'm going to fail at certain things. That's just the way the world is, but it's the belief system around those things that has to be looked at and shifted. And so if we're looking at like what we're talking about right now with you, Devin, it's, if you were to start to shine, if you were to step into the world, whatever it is, your workplace or your relationships with other people, or pick anything, and you are going to start to shine, the treatment isn't to say it'll never happen again, that people will be jealous, or that it's really to say there will be people that will try to take you down. There will be people that will be jealous of you. There will be people that will be insecure of you. The question is, what does that mean?
Yeah.
Does that mean that you therefore then shouldn't do that because you're going to need to experience shame, or do you need to do something else to see it differently and accept it for what it is, but have a different story around it that can be just as true or truer than the current narrative that you have?
Yeah, I guess that's one story I need to figure out how to see, and how do I cement that resilience and confidence?
Is it possible that you could start to work into a place where you could see yourself as capable of handling the fact that certain people won't like your success, but seeing the benefit of the success because it helps you step more fully into your own power, your own authenticity as a man, and know that as that man, it's okay that there will be certain people that won't like you, and that you know how to, through boundaries, how to protect yourself.
So like at the times I felt most successful in my life, like the most productive at work or most happy and productive in my marriage or with my kids and family, have been the times that I've seen it differently. And I'm like, no, I'm confident, but my biggest issue is I cannot make that last, you know. It's a consistency that comes back, and then it's like a cycle almost, you know.
Are you familiar with Byron Katie, The Work?
No.
This would fit so perfectly for you, Devin. And it's a really popular book. She has a book called Loving What Is. Mm-hmm. And what she does is give really basic tools to learn how to go through a process of challenging your thoughts and beliefs. So it's kind of what Tyler's saying. Tyler's getting to, well, what about this? Well, what about that? Couldn't you believe this? Byron Katie stops you in your tracks a little bit, and she says, okay, like, you're struggling, you're suffering. Let's just look at what you're thinking.
Yeah.
And look at, and I'm not going to go through all of Byron Katie's work right now, but let's look at what you're thinking and look at what else you could believe instead.
Yeah.
And what would life be like if you believed this other thing instead? What would that shift? And as you work yourself through her work, your energy and emotion starts to change about the trigger that you're in. And all of a sudden, you're not responding to that thing in that self-fulfilling prophecy of creating the problem that you're tired of having. You're actually responding to it totally differently, because now you have control about what you believe and what you think. So I would really highly recommend Byron Katie, Loving What Is. She also has a lot of like YouTube videos and things where she walks people through that process. And people who have done her work, they practice doing it, because in those moments when they're triggered, they can stop and take control of their mind rather than have their mind take control of them.
Can I ask a question, Brandon? I feel like when I think about doing that, you know, seeing what is and thinking how it could be different, there's a small part of me inside that says, but I'm not worthy of that. You know, there's a small part. It's like trying to do a positive affirmation where you're telling yourself that you are these things, but you don't really believe it, because you're like, but I don't believe that I am, you know, because these things have happened, you know.
Okay, let me walk you through her work with that question. So I'm not worthy of that. Let's take that thought. Okay. Is that true?
I know it's not, but it feels like it is.
Okay. So you know that that's not true.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. If you were to say, well, it might be, I'd say, can you absolutely know that that thought is true? But you're saying, no, it's not true. Okay. What would your life be like without that thought?
Happy.
Okay.
Yeah.
To actually believe that, hey, I am worthy of it. Mm-hmm. That would make you feel good, make you feel happy.
I think I would feel happy, but still scared that other people would come get me for trying to follow my own happiness and shine, you know?
Okay. And I could back up and we could start doing the work on that thought. Is that true that other people would come and get you for shining? Okay. Can you absolutely know it's true that when you shine, other people are going to come and get you?
I guess probably like 30-70, it just experientially, you know.
It's happened in the past, but in the future, can you absolutely know it's true that that's going to happen?
No, I don't know the future, so yeah.
Okay, So you can't absolutely know it's true, right? Yeah. What would your life be like without that belief that other people are going to come and get you?
Just flowing and just being authentic and not worrying.
Okay. What else could you believe other than other people are going to come and get you?
that my life can just be spectacular. Okay. And yeah, that I just, all I have to really worry about is doing the work to be successful.
Yeah. So you, can you see what I'm kind of doing? It's so basic. We're just challenging the thought. And then we're saying, you're trying to get your emotion and your energy to that place of what would it be like without it? And then replace it and think about a new belief that you could start to kind of examine and look at. Like, what else could I believe? It's that simple, right? Your automatic default is going to go back to those traumatic experiences and faulty core beliefs that have given you that lens. It's going to take some work on your part to challenge that lens. Like,
And that's the work I really want to do.
Right. Like if I do this to you,
which right now for the listeners, Brandon's flipping Devin off in the camera.
Yeah.
So what comes up?
Well, I don't know. Just remembering all the times that people flipped me off, or when I was a kid, I was in like Golden Corral or Chuck-O-Rama type place. And I looked over and this old man flipped me off and I just, you know,
Did you cut him off at the salad bar or something?
I don't know what I must have done. You know, probably was slurping my soup too loud or something.
So if I'm doing this to you, Devin, right?
Yeah. Like,
what am I doing?
It's just an insultive gesture, you know?
Okay. Is it an insultive gesture?
What I see is you trying to play airplanes with your hand.
I'm glad you made that story out of it. Yeah. I mean, so we have life experience, the three of us, that when I do this, it means all these things, right? Yeah. It's obvious and automatically insulting. It's weird when I do it, I get this feeling of like, this is something that I should not be doing. This is bad, right? So inside of me, I have those things going on. But the reality is I'm lifting my middle finger and my thumb. That's all that's happening. But we have this interpretation. Oh, Tyler's giving it back to me. Yeah.
Well, there's different ways. B, you kind of go with the rigid, like knuckle look, like an airplane. I kind of like to go with just the single finger.
But are you guys getting my point here?
It's like life, it's what you interpret it as, you know.
Yeah, like Devin, I could be saying, "Hey, I love you, man."
Yeah,
I'm flipping you off, right?
Like you're a brother, just teasing.
You're my brother.
Yeah, yeah. It's like one thing that I feel like's helped me a lot. I mean, I feel like I'm on the verge of a breakthrough, just as far as mentally goes, because I'm like on a teeter totter where one side's on both sides, and I feel like one's, you know, I kind of go, oh, I'm confident. Oh, I'm not, like, you know, and I feel like I'm just trying to get down, doing the work to cement, you know, that template. But when you do that, I kind of, you know, I think about what Tyler taught me is that people hurt other people when they're hurting. When I see that as the truth, like, hey, that's him, not me. And I'm just focusing on like, I'm okay. You know, this is because he's feeling something.
I love that, you know, shift in thinking.
Yeah. Like, I feel like, you know, 60% of the time I get to that, and then there's some triggering event that comes up that just says, nope, you're wrong, Devin. This is all wrong. Like going back to the old mindset, because that's where I feel like I know how to feel safe in my own life, you know? So what I really want to do is just say like, screw you.
Yeah.
I'm moving past, and like, I don't want to listen to this anymore. You know, it's like almost those voices. And, you know, I don't know if it's the devil and his minions, you know, demons trying to get you to be discouraged. Like, I know that there's a force out there, you know, that's trying to get you discouraged and, you know, all these things. And, you know, I feel like part of me just wants to say like, hey, no matter what you do, I'm not going to care. But then I know that the forces will try harder. So it's kind of going back to that flying under the radar feeling of like, do I just embrace that? Hey, you know what? Whatever's going to happen is going to happen. And like, I will be a failure only if I don't give it my all. Like, is that what I need to be more afraid of than, you know, than of trying hard and having retaliation? You know, like it almost is, because when I don't work hard or I am fearful or I feel like, you know, I feel depressed or something, there's a hard component of my work, which is I don't have a 9-to-5. I am completely dependent on myself. So there are times where I don't feel like going to work and I don't have to, you know, because I build up enough reserves where I don't have to. And it's kind of a double-edged sword. I want to be able to be consistent. I want to be able to feel like I'm always working towards something, but it's really easy when those thoughts come back to just hunker down in my shell again and say, like, I don't want to have to face the world, you know?
Yeah.
So Devin, I want to just maybe add to what Brandon's saying, that 40-60, it sounds like you're already doing a lot of the work. Now, what Brandon was doing, and I'm going to suggest this, is that when that 40% still comes up, be curious, the way Brandon just taught you, is it true? Can you absolutely know that it's true? Mm-hmm. How do you react or respond when you believe that thought? And what would your life be without that thought? Just roll through those questions, answer those for yourself curiously. And what you're doing is you're now being curious and compassionate with the fact that there's still that 40% time when you go into those negative beliefs, but you recognize them for what they are. You meet them with curiosity, and then you can move into the challenge, which is where the self-compassion comes in to say, well, the truth is blank. You fill in the blank. For me, I'm a failure. Well, is that true? No, not really. How do I react when I believe it? Well, I get miserable. I feel shameful. I perform worse. What would my life be like without that thought? Well, I'd be more free. I'd be more happy. Well, the truth is that I am a work in progress. I'm allowed to fail. Failure is part of life, and failure is how I learn, but it's not going to define me. And the truth is that God's creating me to be a force for good. There's the self-compassion. There's the challenge statement. You meet it with curiosity and you move through it.
Yeah.
The curiosity piece is important, because what curiosity is not, what me and Tyler aren't saying to you, Devin, is you need to reject yourself and tell yourself to stop doing the stupid belief that's causing you harm. That's not what we're saying.
Yeah.
And in internal family systems, it's called IFS. It's a type of therapy. And I'd suggest it for maybe later today in your session. But the IFS, what it says is we have these parts inside of us. And when internal family system says that we have this family inside of us of mm-hmm. parts, right? Mm-hmm. And so this part inside of you that says, hey, I don't want to go for the success because I'm going to get hurt if I do. Let's love that. Let's love that part. Let's that shadow side, if we want to call it that. But let's say, you know, thank you. You have protected me for a long time. I appreciate you trying to protect me. And you've stepped up. That part's been very prevalent, very powerful. Thank you for stepping up. I appreciate you, and I'm ready to bring another different part in instead. I'm at a point in my life where, thank you for protecting me. I don't want your protection anymore. And now I'm going to bring my more confident part that trusts myself back in, that can sit in the fear of somebody attacking me if I succeed. I'm going to find that part. That part might be little tiny inside of you, Devin, but it's probably roaring a little bit. It's probably raging to say, like, please, like, let me come up and come out here, right?
I think, like, life events bring you to that point. It's like, now I'm going to have 5 kids, and I'm like, wow, I imagined someone with 5 kids not having fear, you know?
You like it or not, God's throwing you in the arena to not be stuck behind that part who's keeping you stuck in fear.
Right? Yeah, that's why I call the Therapy Brothers podcast.
Well, Devin, you've really shared a lot today. You've been really vulnerable. Thank you so much for bringing yourself on and being willing to share your story. I know that this is going to have an impact on other people, specific people that I'm thinking of that are even in my own caseload right now. So thank you for your willingness to come on and to share today. We got just a minute left. Any last thoughts or questions?
Yeah, I think, so it sounds like the biggest work I need to do is just, you know, being curious about, is this really true? What would be happen if it, you know, wasn't true? And I think like just overarching is I'm sometimes have a hard time with consistency in general in my life, but I just think that consistency is going to be the key to just keep questioning that and trying to reframe like who I am, you know, like there's forces that keep pushing me under the water and you just have to swim really hard up. And I don't say that as like a piece of shame, you know, I say that as it really does take work to change the way you think, you know, it takes practice. So it's kind of one thing that I want to do.
Great, Devin. I would just challenge one thing you said there, that yes, there's some reframing who you are, but the truth is you already are. Yeah. It's more about accepting the truth of who you are instead of having to go and find or change or do something different. It's really actually about laying down a certain belief and accepting the truth.
Yeah.
Devin, are you coming to our Rising Sun conference in September?
I really want to. Now that I've been on the podcast, I feel like I can put myself out there more.
Well, we'd love to have you. I think it would help you experience a shift in rather than just talk about it with Tyler or talk about it on the podcast.
Yeah. Action's what I need, you know?
Yeah. I was watching the Olympics. I love the Olympics, and I see people standing, you know, on the podium getting their gold medal. And I just think of you, and I think of you standing there getting that gold medal, looking behind you or around you, waiting to have somebody throw a rock and knock you off the podium, you know?
Yeah. That's what it feels like.
And there's no reason why you can't just stand there, put your arms up in all your vulnerability and all your glory and just bask in that moment. And
yeah,
let me tell you, when's your wife due?
She's due February 25th.
Okay.
Don't ask me our anniversary though. No.
Dude, God's calling you into something glorious.
Yeah.
Glorious. Absolutely. And you're being asked to step onto the table, onto that podium. And I know you just stay humble, stay the way you are, Devin, and you'll overcome these demons. This part won't own you forever. You just got to stay courageous and willing to challenge those beliefs and those thoughts that take you back down to that place of fear. So
can I say one more thing? Mm-hmm. Sorry. I just want to say that one thing, when you held your arms out like that, just thought about Jesus. And sorry to get religious, but just thinking that he's the one who's felt everything and he had the strength inside of him to take on lashings and people spitting on him, like the ultimate bullying, you know, people after his life and still like loved them. Like that shows me that my example, you know, mm-hmm. that's just something that is that transcendent divine power. Like whatever anyone here listens to or like subscribes to or believes in, like that's one thing that if I hold on to him, I feel like it's one thing that I really believe I can have that new life, you know? And absolutely. That example is just so powerful to me, you know?
I love it. Yes.
That's beautiful, Devin. That's beautiful. And if you look at it from a Christian perspective, Christ never once backed down from the truth of who he was. He did stand there in all of his glory, and he made claims of who he was, you know, and he never backed down. He accepted those things fully because he was able to accept the truth from God of who he was. So great, great final thought, Devin. Thank you so much for coming on. I'm looking forward to seeing you, I guess, later today, it sounds like. So
yeah, thank you guys so much too. I really feel the love and the brotherhood that you guys have. I'm just so grateful to be able to have a wholehearted life with you guys. So appreciate it.
Awesome. Well, it's good talking to you, Devin. I appreciate you too. And if this episode struck a nerve for anybody, I think pretty much everybody was bullied to some degree as a kid. And then please share it with somebody. Talk about it at the dinner table. And we really appreciate you listening. And we'll see you next time.
Thanks.
Thanks.